SingaporeMath.com, Inc. Math Workbooks. Ms. Passman?
Yeah, I just wanted to continue the discussion that we had last week, and that was that we're having all these books sent. It's not because I don't want Singapore Math in our schools, by the way. Let me add that first. I definitely do want them in. And they have various levels that all students can use. And I have spent the week looking through the Singapore materials, and I'm still upset over the fact that this is not a complete order and that a complete order should have come in front of us. And that complete order should have been for teachers' manuals, textbooks, and workbooks as well. And that's where I'm coming from on here. I have, however, seen the teacher's manual in the last week, and it's from an old teacher. It's a very old teacher. It's not thrilling, to be honest with you, but I think it's better than nothing. And I preferred the home manual, which I thought was really excellent, that would go home with the student. But that's another story, too. My question is, why wasn't something done this week? I would have felt, you know, that somebody was listening if they had just changed the order to have at least one teacher's manual, one textbook, and then workbooks in each school, and to come back and say, well, we're going to throw it in next week and, you know, next month, and then when is the order going to come in, and will it ever be used if these books are in there? So I was a little upset that nobody was listening to us last week when we were discussing this issue. And I would just as soon see an entire order coming from whoever's ordering this material. That's how I feel. There's also another thing, and I didn't hear last week any discussion of, will there be professional development for our teachers in using these materials? There's another issue again. It always comes back to that. Will our teachers know enough about this material, which right now is $69,000, enough to teach them? And will they know enough to teach them without the teacher's manual? Or will, you know, so this is where I am on this. And so I'm rather reluctant to agree to this payment without those stipulations. That's my feeling on it.
So then you don't want to order workbooks?
You know, here's the situation. I want the workbooks out there. But are we spending $70,000 for workbooks to be sitting in workrooms that are not going to be used because there is no text, there is no manual, and there is no, not that I know of, any professional development for teachers? That's my question to everyone here. That's my paradox. I don't know. Is this what we want? That's my question I'm asking the board.
Superintendent?
Sure. And much of what I'm going to share, you know, I had already shared with you, but I hadn't discussed it with the full board. The work that brings this recommendation forward is one of the outcomes of a multi-year teacher-involved elementary math curriculum review. And I can, you know, share with you that, you know, even going back to, and it looks like in the logical steps from my perspective, going back to 2001, where grade level standards were worked on, grade level committee met, document was reviewed by researchers at various universities. So it has its anchor in the right kind of place around standards. This specific recommendation ties to the pilot that was done last school year, where there were 9 elementary schools involved in piloting various resources. This specific recommendation is a component of the overall elementary math program. It is not the core resources, they're the supplemental resources. What I had indicated to Ms. Passman is we do intend to bring back other pieces, because I knew there were concerns about not having the total package, what I'm working with staff is to bring those back in August. My view is that that it's not uncommon to have pieces in this way in our process right now. And, you know, as I look forward, we will be looking at procedures and processes and structures that will actually look at K-12 adoptions for the school district and looking at consistent teacher input committees and kinds of decisions that need to be made. This, and I just have a couple of other points. This recommendation is also tied to some funding that was available through Title I for the Title I schools. We have an ability to carry over 15% every year, but we don't want to lose funds. And obviously, we could have spent them on a whole variety of things, but we targeted this resource so as not to have to use district operating dollars for the Title I schools. So yes, there was that deadline, and yes, I believe it's consistent with the kind of decisions that are made over the course of the summer relative to curriculum material. Will we be looking at other processes going forward? I assured you and I assure the whole board that I will be having us look at other processes. But I believe that this is a piece consistent with planning that's been done involving teachers, involving pilots at 9 schools last year. And we will bring back those other pieces next month. And that will be my commitment in returning for another discussion. But this ties to the Title I opportunity.
You know, I accept that. I know you're an honorable man, and you will get back to this, and I understand all of that. My concern still comes back to the fact that we weren't listened to. Basically, the board was not listened to last week. And all that had to be done was a simple change in a couple of orders. That's all had to be done. If you had included a teacher's manual or a teacher's workbook, just gone back and made a little change, I'd be sitting here today saying thank you.
All right, but now you know? Let me, if I could respond
yeah.
to that.
Right.
There's no question that I have a sense of how you felt, in particular because we were able to talk, but I will assure you, I did not have a sense from the full board that this was a direction that needed to be accomplished, and I wasn't particularly concerned about it, notwithstanding your concern, because I know there are other pieces that are coming back. This is a piece in a model right now that isn't dealing with holistic K-12 adoptions. I mean, I think we can get there. And so, I mean, I'm not trying to ignore your concern because you've made your concern very clear, but I also want you to know that as I sit here, I mean, I have trouble saying I didn't listen to the board because I didn't know where the full board was on this issue.
I don't mean you.
But it is, but I guess in fairness, I understand that perspective, but I would not bring anything to you if I wasn't comfortable with it. I mean, I wouldn't.
Ms. Mathiak?
I have to say, in fairness to the board, we were told that we couldn't vote at the meeting, so we deferred the discussion and the vote to this meeting. But I do think that there was, I don't believe that Ms. Passman was the only person who had questions about the single, you know, why would you do it this way? And, you know, it's one thing if you're, you know, even a couple $1,000, but personally, I look at that 69, which is like pushing towards 70,000, and that's more than one teacher with benefits. That's a lot of money, and it's Title I money, which is some of our most precious money because it absolutely affects our schools. And there is a part of me that says that a clever teacher with a teacher's guide or a textbook can come up with the workbook component. But I don't see how you start with a workbook and work back towards the part that you would get from the textbook and the teacher guide. And so it wasn't very well explained, frankly. It was not a compelling argument that came forth. And it did appear that, you know, we now belatedly hear that, oh, by the way, there is this pilot. Well, nobody said that last week. We're suddenly hearing about this. And it's my frustration that some of our questions and responses are going to be pretty predictable. And so, you know, we're sort of in this learning about each other phase still where we do get these requests. They don't necessarily make sense to us. I know that it helped us a lot with some of the purchasing requests to just sort of come up with a template for building projects and other things. Actually, I'd have to credit Howard Sampson for starting the model where we got sort of a one or two page outline of this is what it is, this is why it matters, this is where the money's coming from, this is when, this is how much, this is who it affects, and this is why we need it. It feels to me like we need to start getting better at that with some of our curricular decisions, because I look at it and I still struggle with the idea that we'd spend $70,000 on workbooks, and then later on we'll find out about how the textbooks and the other pieces come together. It just feels like a lot of money and sort of a decision I can't get my head around. And that's just sort of where I'm at with it.
Will the Title I money still be available next month?
What I have to check, and I'm not trying to dodge your question.
No, I know that.
We can only carry over 15%. If we're above 15% at a date certain, then that money is no longer part of the Title I allocation.
So the next order will come out of that or will not come out of
Title
I?
No, my understanding is that this order dealt with Title I. Remaining items will not be Title I. Is that correct? That's correct.
Oh, Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Cole.
Could I ask why this came up so late in the game? That's another piece I'm not sure I fully understand. You know, to be, and especially on something like Singapore math, which we've heard, some of us at least, have heard quite a bit of enthusiastic community support for. So it really puts, I'm heatedly ambivalent. I really want Singapore math, but this is coming to us in a way that just doesn't, it's not working for me. So I still don't know how I'm going to vote, but I'm inclined to not support it because you would think that if this is part of an outgoing, ongoing pilot, that this would have come to us in June, or it's very frustrating because in my heart I want to support it, but this was not a great presentation and argument for why we should do it.
Superintendent, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I do, but I also want to make sure I'm correct with that comment, and I'll go back and look in because I want to be certain.
Okay.
That I believe that this piece of this recommendation is consistent with the elementary curriculum recommendations in the math task force. And I believe it's supportive of that direction. Now I want to go back and make sure that what I'm saying is absolutely the case. So that would have been explained in that context if I'm correct. The other thing I would want to say, and it isn't the most complete response, but I think over the course of the summer, you know, we do work to acquire the resources that we need for the following year. And this is, I believe, and I look, this is consistent with the approval that had been given in June for the selection of program materials ordered from June 8th through July 20th would appear on this agenda. And so, I mean, I think it does fit as part of that process, and there's likely other resources that either, you know, mainly tied to ELM that are things that you may not have much knowledge about either. I mean, I guess I just don't want to assume that there is or that there isn't, but you know, am I committed to listening to your concerns and addressing them through other processes? I am. I have ideas on curriculum development work that I want us to deal with, but at the same time, I also want these resources available for our kids next fall.
Ms. Cole, followed by Mr. Hughes.
I think my hesitancy with this, and I honestly can't remember everything I said last week about this, but I was trying to pull back from memory what I was thinking. And for me, this hits a lot of different points that are very important. One is that we have this huge math task force report that's still, you know, we're working on. It's sort of in limbo. What jumped out for me was that we already have teachers using a lot of supplemental resources. And, you know, frankly, when you write Singapore math in a district document, it sends up a lot of signals because, frankly, we should all know that there's this huge math wars going on and that parents look at this stuff. And to me, this is sending, you know, unless we have something that describes in better detail of where we're going, and if the board doesn't even understand it, I don't want to have to be explaining to the community members, oh, well, we have these workbooks, but there's part of this pilot. You know, for me, I tend to go with Ms. Passman on this, that one area that just really needs to be tightened up is this professional development and giving teachers the materials that they need. And maybe, you know, I understand that there obviously is some other nuance that I'm not aware of, and that the workbooks are needed at this time. And maybe this isn't uncommon for the district to do material purchasing this way, but what I want to say is that I think this practice needs to be looked at further, especially in light of math. And then I know I always hesitate on bringing in personal experience, but I'm going to do it anyway because I was around in elementary schools when math was, when these pilots were started for other math programs, and I can't tell you how many teachers had to scramble and look for Xerox copy machines, and some of them ended up going back to the same old materials. And so we've got to figure out a way to roll out these systems so that everyone is on board and understands what we're doing. And you know, I don't want to deny workbooks for any students, and especially when it's Title I. But I also think that Title I money is something that is very precious, and we should be using it, allocating it in a fashion that we know exactly where that money's going, and that that it's reaching those students that we want it to reach. And Ms. Mathiak makes a good point. You know, you look at it, and it's one teacher. So I wish that we could get to a point in the district where we have a better communication model for this curriculum stuff. Thanks.
Mr. Hughes?
Followed by myself, followed by Ms. Moss.
It was certainly not my intention to talk on this point, but I feel obligated to say that this order didn't bother me at all. It seems like a fairly routine thing. I understand the need to purchase things at the end of the fiscal year when there's money available to avoid possible lapses, and I don't see this as implicating a discussion of our math curriculum. If we have concerns about how we're approaching math, then we should put it on our agenda and have people prepared, and we can talk about it. But I think we run down a dangerous path when we pick out particular purchase items on a consent agenda and turn it into a discussion of curriculum matters, which I don't think it fairly implicates, and I think it's unfair to the administration to attach more significance to this particular item than I think it warrants, given its scale and the way we include things on our agenda. So I'm happy to support this purchase.
Superintendent, I have a question.
Process aside, I think we've discussed the process, and you'll be addressing that. So is the question on the table, the textbooks and the teacher books are going to be ordered, just not in this order?
Yeah, we intend to bring additional recommendations next month.
So the question on the table really is, do we order it now or do we order it all together? Is that?
I mean, that is for you to decide. I'm comfortable with this piece of it.
If we order it today, if we approve it tonight, or we approve it next week with the other recommendation, the end result for the kids is going to be the same, correct?
Correct.
Next month, I'm sorry. So ordering it tonight does not change the outcome of what is delivered to the kids.
That's correct, other than I also wanted to take advantage of the Title I funding in this particular case for the Title I schools.
Thank you. Ms. Moss?
Well, I find myself agreeing with Mr. Hughes a lot tonight. I think this makes sense. I think it makes sense to separate it out. If this is Title I money, I don't see a problem with separating it out. And also, it is part of a summer purchase. I don't know. I think there are a lot of reasons to support it. It aligns with the Math Task Force recommendations. It's part of the elementary curriculum. And I guess I don't see a problem. It seems to me that we probably have, it's like Ms. Cole said, that a lot of teachers are scrambling for materials and making Xeroxes. Well, this will be one set of workbooks that they won't have to Xerox because they'll have it there. So I'm definitely going to.
Okay, I'll make a motion. See if there's further discussion.
I move that the board authorize the payment of $69,032 to Singapore Math for the purpose of purchasing elementary mathematics student workbooks for students in Title I schools. The funds to purchase the workbooks are from the 2008-09 Title I and the 2008-09 Title I supplemental budgets.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Ms. Mathiak?
Can you explain to me again why we wouldn't order the textbooks now? And what you would do with the workbooks without the textbooks to provide context for the students?
I mean, my understanding is that we will identify a specific number of textbooks per class, per school, elementary school. We are not going, and I'm glad that question came up, because this is not the core resource, it's supplemental. We will not be making a recommendation that's one per child on the textbook side.
Well, then why would we have one, why would we have, I'm still confused about what you do with workbooks when you don't have textbooks, and why. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how the students are supposed to make sense of it if they don't have the textbooks, and if this is supplemental.
Ms. Wachtel?
If I may, I perhaps can add some clarity to the conversation. These are indeed supplemental resources to provide teachers with particular practice, additional extensions for students when they know what their level of mathematics performance is. And as it has been discussed, instead of creating additional problems for practice and reinforcement, these are leveled guides, leveled workbooks that teachers will be able to determine students need level 1B, 6C, etc. So it's very specific for individual practice. These are going to help alleviate the need for running off Xerox. These will be available for teachers in like a book room kind of atmosphere, so that not every child is going to need the entire series. So to have a repertoire of these books available in each building, so that as individual students need practice in particular areas, these workbooks are available. So as a supplemental reinforcement and practice, this is for more independent work. These are not necessarily the core instructional materials. The Singapore Math has been recommended by teachers. It's been used in our district for quite some time. Some of the ELM orders that have gone through in the past couple years have reflected that teachers are looking for workbooks in this nature, that they need a few of them for particular students at particular times. So what this order does is provide a jump start for all nine of the title schools, so that they'll have a supply of these ready as individual students are assessed and they need practice at particular levels. So there's not a one-to-one correlation of every child getting the entire series. Okay.
So what is the core textbook material that students will be using? What is the core curriculum in math going to be?
The recommendations that are outlined in the math task force report do describe core resources, and the guides, the K-5 and the intermediate guides are part of that, along with investigations and along with the Singapore math and the manipulatives. These together form the core resources that all classrooms would be having to ensure that they have the materials to meet the diversity and the range.
So what guides are we talking about? Those binders that you passed around?
Yeah, the guides that describe the balanced four-block math approach that have been developed in the district, in addition to investigations, Singapore math, and the manipulatives.
And how does the pedagogy of those guides and investigations align with Singapore math?
As far as the particular practice and reinforcement of skills, that's what the teacher teams and the pilots over the course of the years have done that. One single textbook, in the strict sense, does not meet all of the standards. And so this variety, this defined core set of resources, will provide the conceptual basis and the practice and the reinforcement for students. So together, they meet the needs of meeting the standards.
Well, let me ask my question a little differently, because I don't think we're understanding each other. My question is, in terms of the approach to teaching math to elementary students, would something like the guides or the investigations, is that the same methodology as Singapore math, or are they different methodologies?
The guides and the investigations and the manipulatives are definitely used in the similar ways. The Singapore math is going to provide a particular kind of practice and reinforcement that is also needed. And together, that is a comprehensive set of core resources. There's also additional...
So a student is not going to be confused, having gone through investigations and
no.
the guides and the manipulatives,
no,
by being asked to do one of these workbooks?
No, not at all. And this is what teachers have said, that there's, in a balanced math approach, you need practice with factual manipulation, and you also need problems that are conceptual in basis. And together, these provide all of those areas. And in the, and I don't have it in front, I'm not prepared to outline all of the core resources, but this is described in the Math Task Force report, that one single text or one set of resources does not provide all of those strategies.
I understand that concept. What I'm trying to figure out is, if I'm a little kid and I'm trying to figure out how to do the math problems, and I've had nothing but CGI math, am I going to be completely screwed up if I'm asked to actually do the Singapore math problems? Am I going to understand what's expected of me? Am I going to know what to do without having had any other context but the workbook? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think there would be a situation where the workbook, with a student in front of a workbook, would be expected to be learning something new. The workbooks are for reinforcement, for practice, for additional strength and maintaining skill development. So they would not be in conflict at all. They would be supporting and reinforcing.
Calling the question.
I think let's move to a vote.
I just have one comment to make, and that is, I want Singapore math in the classrooms. We know we want that. We can't afford to lose the Title I money. We just simply can't.
So we have.
I have to accept the fact that next month we will get an order that makes sense to us. I have to go on that basis. I don't want to give up. So I'm in this quandary now, and I'm going to vote for it, but I don't want to vote for it, and I do want to vote for it. The kids need these things. I would rather see a teacher take it and use it for a child, even without the textbook, as supplementary, as practice, as anything else, because it's an outstanding series in that respect. So, but I don't like the fact that I am put in this position of not understanding what's happening. That's all.
Okay, so we had a motion and a second. Mr. Winston called the question. Ms. Burke, your advisory vote?
Aye.
Board, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
And that passes 5-2. Now we will move to other reports to the board. Common Council Board of Education Liaison, Mr. Hughes.
We had a couple meetings. We met on June 17th and talked a little bit about holding teacher in services on election days, because